The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Monday morning, downtown Las Vegas. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander this morning. Welcome to another show, another week here in, I'll be honest, a little chilly this morning. Felt like April, I would say even maybe February, March weather, making my little trek across downtown Fremont Street from Circa here to the D to do this show. We wish Gil the best this week. Matt Brown will be in for the rest of the week with you. Kelly Bidlin here as well. Good morning, Kelly. How was your weekend, bud?
Good, man. How you doing? Oh, thanks for filling in, Jared.
Fantastic. Not only am I fantastic, our bankrolls are doing a little better after a very fun Saturday. We both, and I think we might have been the only people on this fine network that cashed on the Derby Saturday. There was a lot of people that liked the favorite Fierceness, but Mystic Dan stuffing our pockets with Mystic Green on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, one of those few times, Jared, where a added bet goes right because it was
the late ones always lose.
Yeah, the late ones always lose, right? And I was sitting there on Saturday, and I'm like, okay, all I've bet so far is just a touch. I got a
long shot in there.
We were talking before, like I'm not a horse guy, so I'll bet two or three horses to win every year. That's it. And I just looked at like some basic speed numbers, and I'm like, this Mystic Dan fella sounds like he could be a good play.
Old Dan. We love Dan. He's more like Lieutenant Dan. Got promoted to general over the weekend after what was a fantastic race. And again, I was live on the air doing Live Bet Saturday literally when the race started. And of course, you know, sweating bets live on TV is an experience.
It's so painful.
And how often do you sweat a Triple Crown race on live TV? And again, I'm not, what is it, Larry Kalmus, the guy that does the play-by-play? He's fantastic, by the way, the guy that does the play-by-play for the race. They're all in line and ready for the start. And so the race starts, and I thought it was the three horse that broke, and he had the lead for pretty much the entire back stretch. And then I think it was Sierra Leone that kind of caught him right at the nose, and it was back and forth. I had no idea who won the race until social media informed me about like 3 minutes later, Mystic Dan, Mystic Dan, and then the celebration ensued.
Yeah, well it was by a nose and by a nose, man. Like three horses right in a row. Like I'm not a big horse racing guy. I'm not a big motorsports guy, but like even that stuff this weekend was not, like NASCAR had like a photo finish, I believe. Like F1, you had somebody not named Max Verstappen win. So like that's a big
upset
deal
in itself, right there. Yeah, so first of all, shout out Zach Lucas from Twin Spires. He's the one that gave me the inspiration to bet Mystic Dan. It was an 18-1 cash. Awesome stuff. But the other interesting thing, we were talking about it during our pre-show here, that not only the trainer who won the Derby, but the same trainer also won the Kentucky Oaks the prior day. And that is a pretty historic thing. So a historic weekend at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, first time since 1952. Wow. Mystic Dan's trainer, Ken McPeak, and Kentucky Oaks and the Derby same year.
An impressive, I would say that is the peak of the horse racing industry right there. So congratulations to Mystic Dan. He's having a heck of a week.
Kentucky Derby, Cinco de Mayo, he's just rolling it all over.
No, Cinco de Mayo started out, and again, I'm complaining here in Vegas for, you know, the people that are in like Chicago right now. They're probably like, what are you complaining about the weather? The weather in Vegas the last couple days has been like winter
weather. Yeah, it's been wild. Well, the wind.
50 degree winds yesterday. I mean, it was 40 degrees when I walked across Fremont Street this morning. But again, I'm sure there's people out there in our fine country that are probably much worse off than us. Not as many worse off than our own VGK Golden Knights, who unfortunately saw their run end yesterday. Congratulations to a couple of Game 7 winners across the sporting landscape yesterday. The Dallas Stars move on to the second round of the playoffs. A tight game. It was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, and in the third period, it was Dallas getting across the finish line there. So the Stars, Game 7 at home advance. They'll face the Avs in the next round of the playoffs. There is your Elite Eight in the Stanley Cup. I'll be honest, I've got an exacta. So our guy Johnny Lazarus, who covers hockey here for the network, before the playoffs started, gave me a Rangers over Oilers 43-1 exacta, which, again, we're a long way from completion here, but you got to win the first round before you can get to the next round. So we are alive there. That'd be a fun – I'll be honest. I like karma full circle type things. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Rangers are going to win the cup this year, the last time they won the cup, it was against the Canadian team, the Vancouver Canucks. Why not against McDavid and Dreisaitl and what has been an unbelievable run? So we'll have a good look at the second round of the playoffs. Jay Conn coming up a little bit later this hour, co-host of The Point. We're going to talk about all things NHL postseason. The other game seven yesterday. So I'll be honest, I didn't love – how do you feel about this? The 10 a.m. local start time for Game 7, Cavs Magic. How'd you feel about that?
It's – man, I think the NBA just get – once you get in the playoffs, they just lock these schedules in. Like, I really thought that was going to be slid once we knew there wasn't going to be another game. But I don't think they do that anyway. Like, for everybody who thinks they can, I think once the NBA hits the playoffs, the schedules get very regimented of when they're going to play games. And then also, like, I mean – would they have, Jared, if it was a Lakers-Celtics like Game 7?
I think they might have.
Yeah, probably. I do think the two teams did have something to do with it.
Yeah, they didn't want to go up against the roast of Tom Brady last night, which, by the way, was absolutely fantastic. I think it was the best sports entertainment crossover since maybe The Last Dance.
Okay, so I'm gonna be the old man for a second.
You didn't like it?
No. I didn't say that. Okay. But doing the show yesterday, rushing home. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch it. Right.
I watched part of it and all the clips.
Okay, so I saw one clip. I did see one.
Some of the clips are fantastic. Yeah, I watched half, and then I had to go to bed. We had to be up early for the show. But I have the next half. I want to get the Tom speech, which I heard was whoo.
Oh, there was one line I heard from him. I couldn't believe he dropped it. But it was one of those. Someone told me about it yesterday morning. They're like, "Hey, you know, watch the Tom Brady roast." And I'm like, "Roast? Like, what is Comedy Central still doing roast? Like, I didn't even know that." So I knew about it. I was like, "I don't care about a Tom Brady roast." And then I'm sitting at home trying to get some work done, and Twitter's blowing up with some of this stuff. So yeah, I guess I'm gonna have to watch it later. Now I got a little bit of the FOMO going on. Yeah.
So the best part about. So I watched the first, I want to say, hour of it. I was watching Vegas. I wasn't going to turn off a live Game 7 VGK to watch a roast. Like, the roast will be there for me. But then during one of the period breaks of the VGK, I started scrolling through Twitter, and I saw some of the clips. I was like, oh, man, this is I need to watch this. So after the VGK game ended, I got through about the first hour. And then I got to the Ron Burgundy part, and sorry for the spoiler there. Ron Burgundy does make an appearance, and that's when I was kind of like dozing off. I knew we had to be up early, so I was like, all right, I'll table the rest. I kind of feel like I got enough of it to whet my appetite. Kelly, it was incredible. Nikki Glaser, who is like a real comedian, I'll be honest, like Randy Moss was kind of like, eh, like you could tell the jokes were written for him and he was just reading them. Drew Bledsoe was actually really funny.
Really?
But right. Nikki Glaser, who is an incredible comedian, she's got like a million followers on Instagram, she was unbelievable. And there was a couple jokes, so Jeff Ross, who's like the classic roast master, he did a couple ones.
Where, there's a name I actually recognize.
Yeah, where Tom had to like stop him on one, and I'm like, all right, that's not the spirit of a roast. There's nothing off limits in a roast. That's the whole point of a roast. But then he I'll save the spoilers. Go watch it. I promise you, if you're a sports fan, we need more of these. I think LeBron should be next. I think LeBron should be next. I don't know if there's another guy that really has that gravitas like Tom does, though.
I mean, the big question is which of these athletes are thick-skinned enough to take the type of
LeBron,
those jokes?
I don't know if LeBron is.
I don't know that he is. I saw a lot of tweets about Tom Brady looking pretty upset, so I don't know if he for sure had enough thick skin. All I know is
He got paid a lot for it, though. Money cures everything when you're getting made. I think he got eight figures for this.
Are you serious?
I think he got at least seven. I think he got at least a million plus. I think they're close to 10 million from what I heard.
The one clip I saw, and I got to watch this whole thing. Tom Brady made a joke about Bill Belichick in the Ring Central camera. Like, that was, I was like, I can't believe
I forgot about, again, I don't want to give away too much, although I feel like I've blabbed so much about this already. I'll close with this. If we don't get more of these because of this, I'll be shocked. I thought last night, if you're too PC, don't watch it. Let's just leave it at that. Because there was some stuff in there that I did not think they were going to go down this road. And they went down the road, and they plowed down the road. Like, it wasn't like they just dipped their toe in the water. Like, they dumped, they jumped in head first, cannonball dive. Speaking of that, we've got a couple of NBA series to talk about as well. Two NBA games tonight on the docket. And I'll be honest, the basketball pickings right now are really good, Kelly. The first round of the playoffs, I think I would have liked to see a couple more series get extended, but there were a couple series that the intensity level, like that Knicks Sixers series, felt like a finals type of series. Yeah. And we'll see what happens when they get going tonight. Knicks Pacers game one, T-Wolves Nuggets. You had the early upset with Minnesota. We'll see how Denver bounces back tonight as well. We will talk about our plays, our vibes. I've got a couple prop angles that I like. I don't bet a lot of sides in the postseason. Really hard to get value. Live betting matters, but pre-flop, the prop market to me, adjustments with time on the floor and matchups to me, that's where I find the edge.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think for me, it's, you know, for me, I mean, everybody listens to the shows knows during the NBA regular season, it's a lot of sides for me, not nearly as many totals, which I know that's kind of flipped from a lot of normal NBA bettors. This is the time of year, though, where I do think, for me, I recognize a little bit more value in some of the totals, some of the player props than I might attack throughout the course of the regular season. I know there are a lot. I got a lot of tweets about this yesterday. We do have a schedule for the NBA.
Yeah, you've been sitting on money. You've been sitting on futures bets probably for months. You might get paid tonight. That is honestly the NFL night when you hit that, and it's a great night when when you finally get that payout, because you know who's going to win for the most part at this stage, right?
Right, right. So yeah, we got Rookie of the Year tonight, Defensive Player of the Year tomorrow, and then MVP coming to us on Wednesday.
Yeah. So if you're sitting on those tickets,
let's go Wemby.
Wemby. That's the Defensive Player of the Year. Wemby not in the postseason. We will get to some of the postseason games coming up on the other side of this break. A numbers game continues here on VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, latest buzz. It's the free VSiN daily newsletter. Look at Bill 80 on that screen with the graphic, the bald head, and the glass. Beautiful. He's got it all. In today's newsletter, I saw Steve Mackinnon got some betting trends for the NBA series prices that are hopping on board with you. So be sure to check that out. Expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander on a numbers game here Monday morning, live from the D. Kelly Bidlin with us as well. Jay Kahn coming up in 15 minutes talking puck. But let's get back to the NBA discussion, because my Knicks, not quite Kelly's Knicks, although he's going to be on board with the Knickerbockers as they try to navigate the Indiana Pacers. A little old school matchup here. Everything that is old is new again. The last time, I want to say Knicks-Pacers, it was 2014 when the last time the Knicks kind of made a little bit of a run in the playoffs. They lost to the Pacers in that round. That was a Carmelo-led team. It was a good season for the Knicks. Roy Hibbert was the guy that just went absolutely bananas in that series for the Pacers. I believe Paul George was still a member of the team then as well. So a little bit of a recycled matchup here. Of course, the original Knicks-Pacers dogfights in the 90s with Reggie Miller and all the fun stuff there. We are a long ways away from that. But this current Pacers team, very offensive-minded team. They're a fun watch. The Knicks, I don't know if fun watch is the way I would use to describe them. They're like a grindhouse.
Yeah.
But this team is built for the postseason. They are built for tough, long, excruciating seven-game series. I don't know if we're going to get one here, but I do think this matchup favors the Knicks. Obviously, you're laying a big penny in game one. I'm a little bit weary of a game one lightning strike for Indiana. But I'll be honest, as this series continues to stretch out, Kelly, I think the matchups favor the Knicks, especially on the perimeter, something that Milwaukee could not do. First of all, they had a lot of injuries they were dealing with. Second of all, they could not defend the perimeter. Tyrese Halliburton did whatever he wanted. He was a distributor. He was a scorer. He couldn't make a shot for most of the series. Yeah. Still had an unbelievable output offensively in that series against the Bucks. But I'll be honest, Indiana still struggled in a lot of those games. even without Dame Lillard on the floor, even without Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor, I think defensively, the Knicks defending the perimeter, you've got OG Anunoby, you've got Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson does his thing, Miles McBride is an underrated defender. I think Tyrese Halliburton is going to be in for a long series. Will he have his moments? Absolutely. But I would not be running to the window to bet a lot of overs on him, especially in game one. My guess is there's no doubles. There's a lot of guard perimeter switching at the top. The Knicks are very versatile with their defensive rotation. And I think it's going to have to be the other guys for Indiana that have to step up. Siakam maybe. But I don't know if there's a guy that can really give the Knicks problems, with the exception of Miles Turner. That's the guy who scares me in this series, because I think he could stretch the floor, bring Robinson and Hartenstein out of the paint and shoot the three, but the guards for Indiana might be in for a tough series.
Yeah, it's. I think that was a great breakdown right there. I think at the end of the day, just to like really simplify this, it probably comes down to which of those guards has the better series, and I'm just not getting in front of Brunson right now when you look at that, right? But the matchups are fascinating here, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how OG Anunoby is deployed by the Knicks. Obviously, he is the stud defender in this series, period, for both teams. But do you try to take away more? I mean, do you have to play him on Halliburton? Are you okay playing some of the other guards on Halliburton and keeping him on Siakam? Because I am a little worried if OG gets involved out there with Halliburton too much, then Siakam, I think, he could have a big series, because you brought up a big point of Miles Turner stretching.
That's
out
the guy who scares
bringing
me.
Out some of the bigs out of the paint, and some of the great rim defense that the Knicks have. If those guys get pulled away and Siakam can work in the paint, that's a little concerning. Look, game one tonight, I'm not touching. I'm scared.
I'm not betting the game one. They
just went through a war with the 76ers.
Scares me tonight.
Guys playing massive minutes, and we all know, if you've watched the Pacers at all this year, you know one thing. This team is looking to get out and transition as much as humanly possible and go as fast as they can. Tonight, I'm a little concerned. Okay, if the Pacers are able to play a little bit better defense, right, Jared, create some turnovers, get out on the break, can these Knicks starters who have played that many minutes not be completely gassed by the fourth quarter, right? It's a little bit what concerns me for tonight. So I'm staying away from game one. I did get involved in the series, though, Knicks side of things. I think when we break it down, just really simplify what matters in NBA playoffs, right? Half court defense, Knicks far better, far more superior than what the Pacers have. Half court offense, the Knicks are better than what the Pacers have on the half court sets and what they can run. And then rebounding. You are talking a massive rebounding mismatch in this series, and Knicks should dominate that. The only reason I keep going back to the Miles Turner thing is that is such an X factor, right? Can you bring some of those bigs away? And maybe that helps mitigate what they're able to do on the boards on the New York side of thing. All of those, though, Jared, are slight concerns for me. I think the Knicks are a better team. They operate better in things that matter, places that matter in this series. I love them in the series. I laid 215 on the opener.
Love it.
Bet them pretty heavily there. So I'm a little concerned about game one. I'll probably be dipping back in if the Knicks drop it.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a Pacers fan, Pacers backer, you got to steal one of these first two games in New York. It is massive to do that and bring at least a 1-1 series back to Indiana. If Knicks are up 2-0 going to Indiana, I'm feeling real good, Jared. I'm feeling real good.
Yeah, I think the games at the Garden are going to be unlike anything Indiana's dealt with all year.
Yeah.
The Philly series, all right, I'll be real with you. I'm a Knicks fan, been a Knicks fan my whole life, born in New York City. One of my first games was a Knicks game.
Lived in South Florida.
Yeah. And then my family did something very cruel to me in 1992. They said, let's move to Miami. And then I grew up in the 90s as a Knicks fan in Miami. I mean, you can see how that went. But a lot of good memories, of course, with those late 90s teams. This series, the Sixers series, felt like that. It felt like 13-year-old Jared in 1999 watching Allen Houston hit the game winner in game five to send the Knicks as an 8 seed over the Heat, the 1 seed, in a massive upset. And I'm not saying that's the same thing that happened in the Sixers series. Obviously, the Knicks were favored. They should have won that series. They did win that series. But my point being, the way I felt watching those games, to me, felt like old school NBA postseason Knicks being good good for the league. And let's be honest, I know a lot of people hate New York. I'm looking at you, JVT. But you have to admit, when that garden is rocking in the playoffs, there aren't a lot of places that are at that level of intensity. And it makes the game better. So we'll see what the vibe is tonight. I think this is the one game where I can see Indiana winning in New York. I think this is the only game they will win, perhaps, in New York. I don't think they will. If they win tonight, they're definitely not winning game two. And if they don't win tonight, I don't know if they are capable of winning a game on the road in this series. And they're going to have to, because they're going to have to win at least one. I think the Knicks are going to take at least one in Indiana, because they're going to have one of those lockdown defensive games, and Indiana's going to struggle to score in one of them. So this is going to be a clash of styles kind of series. It's going to be a series that I think Jalen Brunson, let's be honest, when they signed him, I was like, the Knicks, great. I love Jalen. The Knicks still need a star. I was wrong.
I'm with you. I was the same way.
I was like, great, he's a good number two. They still need Giannis. They still need a LeBron. Like, no, I think they've got their Giannis, their LeBron right now.
I was even, I mean, I don't know, maybe you were the same guy. Like, I was the guy who thought Dallas was undervaluing him, but still was like, yeah, but I'm not going to go out and say this guy's a superstar or anything. And he is, is there any team, I'm just, as I'm perusing the series price now, any team that is more reliant on one guy right now? I don't think that there is.
No, there definitely is not. I think you can put the Nuggets in the category of Jokic, but they also have Jamal Murray, who, let's be honest, I think he has been the best player in the postseason so far, especially the most clutch player in the postseason so far. Not named Jalen Brunson, who's also been incredibly clutch. Listen, guys, this isn't the sharpest handicap I'll ever give you, but this dude eats. He's gone 39, 47, 40, 41 the last four playoff games. Here are the games against Indiana this year. He's been incredible against the Pacers this season. I think that is versus Indiana this year, the last two games, 40 and 39. 34.5 points, I think, is the total tonight for him to score. I think that's the only over I would bet points-wise for the Knicks tonight. Just let Brunson do his thing. Rebound-wise, Hart's been the guy. Ananobi's had some good looks. But I want to know who guards Haliburton.
Yeah.
If it's Hart, I'm not interested in his rebounding prop. Right. Just like I wasn't interested in Hart's rebounding prop the games they switched him on to Maxey. That was an OG rebounding prop. That was Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein getting all the rebounds, because that, you know, lockdown defensive matchup kind of pulls you away from the rebounding action. So I'm not interested in any other, you know, secondary props for the Knicks tonight. I think they win the game. Game one series price is -140. Knicks to win game one to win the series. That's fine. But Jalen Brunson, you're cooking tonight, bud. Over whatever your point total is, bet the alts. He's getting a 40 tonight. All right, we come back. Jay Con, NHL. A lot of fun stuff to get to on the ice. The numbers game rolls on next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we are back. Beautiful. I'll call it average Monday morning here in Las Vegas weather-wise. I think it'll get better as the day
goes on.
You
were really bitter about this. Wow.
It was bitter outside. I'll be honest. When we get to May 1st, I want to be like shirtless on my balcony every day. I don't want to wear a sweatshirt.
Some of these Vegas people, man. Like, you've become one of them.
You're soft.
You're South Florida in Vegas.
I am soft.
I should be the same way. But yeah, it is. Everybody can't wait till it's 100 degrees out here.
Yeah,
I'm like, what are we rushing for?
I think I want to live in the middle. We love living in the middle in the gambling space. I wish I could bag, like, April was a good month weather wise. I wish I could bag April and like just sell it for the rest of the year.
No, November. Like, November. I always take November out here.
Yeah, I agree. Well, November's a fantastic weather.
Because I always feel like in the fall we get the gradual decline. In the spring it goes from like 40 to 90 in like a week. And you're like, what happened?
We've had some, and again, I'm a big weather guy. Newsflash, I'm a nerd. So I like when things like, you know, move drastically, because it's like, oh, something's happening that's never happened before. Let's talk about it. And that's kind of what the weather is here in Vegas. Like, it coming from the East Coast, I'm used to two things, humidity and more humidity. There's none of that here.
Yep.
And so the fluctuations in weather, you feel them a lot more, because when it goes from no humidity, 40 degrees to 100 degrees, it's like, whoa, you feel every degree of that temperature. Whereas I'll be honest, 80 degrees in humidity feels the same as like 60. Like it's, you feel the humidity in the air and that's all you feel. But the temperature swings here and the wind, it's the desert. It's got healing powers.
You know,
the desert.
You know, we don't get out here, Jared, and it's the best part of living here. Mosquitoes. No mosquitoes. No bugs. It's amazing. I got to give a shout out real quick. Basically, might as well be a third member of the show, and I'm so glad Mike Alvarez tweeted this at me. Happy birthday, Bob Seger, who we know his music is usually playing in the background here. So happy birth, 79th birthday for Bob Seger.
79 years young, Bob Seger, one of the greats of the music space. All right, speaking of November, let's talk a little football. Because I did a segment on Saturday with Will Hill about the futures market in the NFL, and I got all the feels. It was like, oh, man. Yeah. You know, it's February. Super Bowl's over, and then we had that little March Madness. We're so focused on basketball. Then the draft happens, and it's like this little pop of football that plops up through the springtime. And now I'm kind of in that mindset of I'm not ready to really dive into the NFL, but I'm ready to start throwing some opinions out there and seeing what sticks and seeing if there's a market that I think maybe is a little bit mispriced.
The other thing that's tough, Jared, is like I think we all used to, it's like our NFL betting interest would start to perk up when books would start hanging markets. But now like they're shops like DraftKings, they're up all year. So it's like there's never even like this great time. Like, okay, now we should start looking at it. So, all year we get to talk NFL.
So the markets that I'm interested in, here's kind of my sequence. I'll give you my sequence of how I handle the NFL offseason. February, March is like the dark months. Once the Super Bowl happens, I go dark for at least a month. I focus on basketball. I focus on other things. I kind of recalibrate. I don't care if there's odds posted. I don't care if there's news that breaks. I just let the market do its thing for at least a month. Then we get into April, and then obviously the focus shifts towards the draft. The draft is kind of its own standalone entity. I'll call it the kickoff for how I view the NFL market. Once the draft takes place, that's when I will start to look at all kinds of different markets. Win totals, futures, divisions. I think the win totals, I like to wait until we get closer to the season.
Full schedule, right?
The schedule is so important. I think we get it in June. Soon. I want to say we get it maybe even May, maybe even this month. But if not, it's usually springtime, late spring, early summer. Then once we have the schedule, that's when I start making bets. Like, I don't even consider, unless you've got some insane long shot that you think in a index market that you think is going to move considerably based off of heavy news taking place over, a draft player or something like that. I am not very interested in betting the NFL really hard with my futures portfolio until I get a schedule.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm laughing at the Akron Beacon Journal. Good on you for calling out the NFL for still not having a date set of when they're going to release the dates for the upcoming schedule.
Usually they have that set very far in advance, too.
I don't know. So I don't have an
usually they make like a whole party about it. They want you to set it on your calendar like it's your alarm clock in the morning because the NFL does not sleep.
I'm seeing a lot of articles about this,
My guess, if I had to bet, it's sometime this month we will get, because the NFL likes to have one event every month out of the year, like February Super Bowl, March Combine, right? April Draft, May schedule. So I think to me, the schedule will be out soon. Once the schedule is out, the win totals then take center stage. I like to try to find teams that I think might have an early start to the schedule, obviously bet over, teams that maybe have a tough start to schedule, maybe bet under, but I think there's a million different ways to skin the cat. I know a lot of people get invested very early in the NFL futures markets. They like to bet long shots early. They like to try to pick off numbers. I think that's fine. If that's your strategy, that's fair. I'm a little more visceral with the NFL offseason. I like to see things happen, and then I like to bet them. And I know that's a very reactive way. I like to be a little more proactive than the regular season, but in the offseason, what do you really have to go off of except those news and those strands, those nuggets that you get? It is very hard, I think, to kind of time it right, but stick to your strategy, and let's be honest, you got to lock this money up for 8-9 months, so you got to be prepared to, sit there and watch it in your account.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think once you get the schedule,
schedule's huge for me.
By the way, this is the best I could find. The schedule will be released in May.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
NFL hasn't given a specific date for the release show, but given recent history, this is from an article yesterday, it's expected to be on Thursday. So I don't know what kind of indication we're getting that it's on Thursday, but I guess we're getting it this week. I think schedule, though, that's when you can start attacking win totals. I think you could start attacking futures more. Like, I made a couple. What have I made? I made one division bet.
Yeah, what have you made so far?
So as soon as division odds got posted, I bet the Bengals in the AFC North. And then I made two Rookie of the Year bets, but that's, you know, you're talking about the whole schedule of when you're making bets. It was draft. As soon as draft ends, you get Rookie of the Year odds up. And I did end up attacking a couple of those. I bet Xavier Worthy at 18-1. I mean, it's just, okay, plug a speedy wide receiver into an offense that needs wide receivers, and we've seen what they've done before. I like that. And then I bet Keon Coleman, which I just saw. I bet him at 50-1 on the opener. He's down to like 24-1.
Love
so that actually is a,
wow.
I don't know if that's
a fantastic bet so far to get so
well,
much.
Well, Jared, I'd
early.
Like to say that, but I don't know how much of that is just like social media fame of Keon Coleman over the past week, and everybody's just going in and clicking, hey, let me get a piece of that.
And so that to me, and these markets are very intriguing to me throughout the course of the offseason. I like to see who is that hot buzz player. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it is Keon Coleman. I didn't know he moved so much in that market. That's a big move in the market. So the Olroy market's interesting to me. I think both Rookie of the Year markets are interesting to me. I think Olroy, you've really got to have a hell of a season as a non-quarterback to win it.
Yeah.
We saw Ja'Marr Chase do it. I think we saw Saquon Barkley do it recently as well. So we've had rookies in the last decade, non-quarterbacks, win this award. But last year, CJ Stroud won it, I would say, by midseason. That thing was wrapped up.
Yeah.
I think the quarterbacks this year, obviously you're not – if you're wasting your bankroll betting Caleb Williams at 2-1 right now, you can get him probably at 2-1 at any point during the preseason. Don't waste your time now. Keep that money in your bankroll. Try to, you know, make it larger. You can bet more on Caleb Williams if you do like him, because I think he is a guy that deserves to be the favorite. But I said this on Saturday. I don't think the gap between him and Jaden Daniels is as wide as the market's indicating.
I completely agree.
I think those guys are kind of 1A, 1B. Yep. And right now the market's saying that Jaden Daniels is a distant third in the market compared to Caleb Williams, who's a 2-1 short shot right now. So I'm not saying I'm overly enthused about sprinting to the window and locking up my money on a plus 650 for the next 6 months. But I do think when the season starts, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams will be a little bit tighter. Maybe it could be Daniel stays the same and just Caleb drops, but it also could be Jaden jumps Marvin Harrison Jr. and becomes that number two option where you get a little bit of movement in your favor, but not enough for me to be very excited about a bet right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think with almost all these markets, especially the index ones like this that you're laying out, it is – look, you're trying to attack, you know, longer shots that you
think
are
bets that you think are mispriced. You're not trying to pick the winner right now.
Exactly. You at least get some closing line value right as we head into the season. So that's what I did with the two wide receiver ones. You just named the name, though. Like, I have a feeling at some point, I just don't think there's any rush right now.
Agreed.
At some point, I probably will be involved with Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Like, I think a great point by you with the separation between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but that I don't know how you price Marvin Harrison shorter than Jaden Daniels or any of the three quarterbacks at the top. I mean, yes, I bet a couple wide receivers. I bet a couple wide receivers on
50-1s. That's very good bets.
Longer odds on teams that have very good quarterbacks that win.
Winning
so
teams.
That's why I bet those. But yes, the quarterbacks are always going to have a major leg up. And then when we talk Jaden Daniels specifically, you've always got the running factor to fall back on, right? Even if he's struggling a little bit to get going with the arm to begin with, dude's going to run. So, if I had to make only one bet right now today, it would be Jaden Daniels with not even much second thought.
If the season started today, I'd bet Daniels at plus 650. I'm in no rush. That plus 650 will be there for a long time. Mike Somich will be here next. We're talking a lot of NBA and some horse racing. Derby was a thriller on Saturday.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further. VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, winning strategies. For a limited time, offering an annual subscription at a great price. Normally $240. You can now grab it for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free, 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. Use that promo code ANG with VSiN Pro. You'll get daily best bets, live programming, betting systems from pro cappers, and our betting splits where you can see where the money and bets are moving for every game. VSiN.com/subscribe. Claim your 14 months VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code ANG. A numbers game is back here on VSiN live from downtown Las Vegas. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander. Today, Kelly Bidlin with us as well. And now joining us is a guy who's been very busy over the last, I would say, week to 10 days talking all things ponies. He is Mike Somich, analyst here on the network. Does a great job breaking down what was a fantastic finish at the Derby, Mike. So I'll start there and then we will move on from horse racing in perpetuity for the rest of this segment, at least. I'm sure you'll do some stuff later as we've got more races is coming up, but man, what a finish at Churchill Downs on Saturday.
Phenomenal race. It was a great finish, like you said. The first time we've had three horses in a photo since 1947. First time we've seen a trainer and jockey win both the Oaks on Friday and the Derby on Saturday since 1952. So very much a historic race. And you got to give all the credit to Brian Hernandez Jr. on Mystic Dan. If you go back, you watch the ride, not only what he did around the far turn where he literally fit that horse through a keyhole on the rail. He came back with paint on his boots. He said he had to get a new pair of boots after the race because he scraped the rail with his shoe. But the to get him out of the gate so well and to be able to outbreak the one door knock and take that position on the rail, just a phenomenal job by Brian Hernandez Jr. to be able to do it. And now we've got an interesting setup for the last two Triple Crown races. We're going to see some new shooters come in for the Preakness. Muth most likely going to be your favorite in that race, and then we've got a lot of Derby horses who are saying they're going to be back at Saratoga for the Belmont as well. So it should be two exciting legs of the Triple Crown coming up.
Good stuff. And of course Michael have all the updates for the next leg of the Triple Crown coming up. I'm sure it'll be very busy over the next couple weeks, getting everyone prepped. VSiN.com with that annual pro subscription, you can get all the picks and all the analysis for the Triple Crown. Great stuff across the board. All right, let's get to the NBA, Mike, because I was very excited when I saw your picks that were just sent to me from our producer, Kelly Bidlin. You are on the Knickerbockers train here, not necessarily tonight, but the series you believe is the Knicks to lose.
I do. You look at the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals. It feels like the Western Conference series are going to be phenomenal series on both of those. I don't have a big lean on either side of that, but you look at the East. Feels like it's pretty much assumed at this point that we're going to see Knicks Celtics, and I agree with that. I think the Knicks have a big time advantage over this Pacers team. Pacers defense just struggled all year. They don't play very well on that side of the ball. This Knicks team should be able to get what they want offensively. And on the other side, the Knicks are going to play some solid defense against the Pacers. We're not sure what we're going to get from Haliburton. He looked like he was a little banged up in that first round series, and the Pacers really caught every break they could in that Bucks series. No Giannis. You got Lillard in and out. I think this is a series where the Knicks able to control it from the jump. I went out and I got them -1.5 games. You can get that right now, -125. I absolutely love that price. I think this is most likely Knicks 4-1, but to be able to get that extra cushion of a game and still just lay -125, I thought was a great number on the Knicks. And then on the other side, look, the Celtics just, they outman this Cavs team. We saw the Cavs really struggle to be able to get by an Orlando team, and I actually liked Orlando in that series. I thought that was a little mispriced. Would have enjoyed it if Orlando hadn't blown that game seven is the way they did, but Mitchell played phenomenal. I think he probably takes one game in this series from the Celtics, but I don't see how this isn't another 4-1 series. So I've laid the -125 with the Knicks minus a game and a half. And then I found a place, and DraftKings allows you to do this, to parlay the series prices. Wow. You can lay the Knicks -1.5, lay the Celtics -1.5, and get yourself +130 on that series parlay. I thought that was a great price for the Knicks and Celtics. For the Knicks and Celtics to both win the series at least 4-2.
It's interesting, and we were talking about this during the break, because when I saw this parlay, I was like, man, there's probably not a lot of shops here in town in Vegas that let you do that. Obviously, DraftKings not permissible to bet on here in Vegas, but they are one of the shops that let you do it. Maybe a Caesars will, maybe an MGM will, but to be able to parlay futures prices, Mike, to me, it's a unique way to get some value, but I think you laid it out perfectly, because you don't necessarily want to just bet the series prices, but we are kind of already at that Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. So if you can figure out a way to mash those two together and still make a bet that is allowed in the DraftKings universe, I just think that's a fantastic way to play it.
Yeah, I was pretty happy when I saw that they would parlay it together. It's not allowed everywhere. A lot of books aren't going to let you do that. And some books will offer you, you know, Eastern Conference matchup, and you can play Celtics-Knicks. But that right now is sitting at plus 170, plus 185, or minus 170, minus 185 in most places. So to be able to go in and lay the game and a half in both series, which I think they have a significant edges for both the Celtics and Knicks in these two series. So to be able to lay the one and a half, parlay it together, and get plus money, I thought was too good to pass up in this spot.
The reason why I love those types of bets, these games are never played on the same nights. It's like staggering a parlay, whereas one game gets played, let's say the Knicks are able to close it out in six, and then the next night it's Celtics-Cavs, and the Celtics need to win that game to win in six. Well, you can always protect yourself by betting Cavs plus the price on the other side, and the staggered nature to those bets when how you kind of laid it out, I think that just makes a ton of sense. You also think the Knicks tonight might be a decent wager. I'm not obsessed with laying six. I think this is the one game that I'm a little bit iffy on if Indiana kind of can, you know, strike lightning early on in the series before Tibbs kind of sinks his teeth in making those adjustments. But you think the Knicks tonight laying 6 points might be a decent wager.
I do like the Knicks tonight. I made this game 8, and I think we're going to see this line move up significantly later in the series. Like, I think if the Knicks take care of business tonight, you're not going to get 6 in game 2. You're going to see that 7.5, 8-point spread. And since that's what I made the game, I thought this was the right time to jump in on the Knicks. I agree with you. Tibbs gets better as we go along in the series. But in game ones, I'm taking the better team when I think I'm laying a number that has some value on it. I'm more worried about this Indiana team at home. That's when they play their best ball, specifically on the offensive side, with role players being able to step up. And that's what we see consistently in the playoffs. So you get a game one Madison Square Garden crowd. They're going to be going nuts in New York for this. And I'm not sure how they're stopping Brunson. To me, that's the big key here. It's that I just don't see anyone on the Pacers that can guard Jalen Brunson. With what they've allowed for guards to get into the lane and be able to score on them, this is just a perfect matchup for Brunson to be able to go off and have a big series for the Knicks and just continue rolling, continue on what they were able to do in the first round.
Yeah, Brunson to drop 40 tonight, parlayed with the Knicks money line, I think is you want to get some alt action. I love betting the alt props in the postseason, Mike. I think a lot of these numbers, we're basing it off of regular season totals. The matchups change, the rotations tighten up, and I think there's value in the prop market to play that lever up or down, depending on where the matchups lie. Let's move to the ice. I didn't expect you to give us a hockey pick today, but I love this wager, Bruins-Panthers first period under. So it was kind of funny because everyone was talking yesterday, Carolina, New York, they had like a week off from the series. They both had really quick first round matchups. And it was like, oh, maybe they're going to start slow because they had, you know, rust, right? Well, they started right out of the gates. They scored, I think, 4 goals in the first period. The opposite perhaps tonight, because you've got Boston that's coming off of a tough 7-game series. They played Saturday at home, get on a plane, go down to Florida, play Monday in Sunrise. Maybe a little slow start there on the ice in Sunrise.
I think it's going to be tough for the Bruins to jump right out of the gate, but the one thing that they lean on in these type of spots is their defense, being able to play solid neutral zone defense, not allow the rushes into their zone and easy shots. You've also got Swayman, who's playing phenomenal for them in goal. On the other side, this Panthers team, they were an offensive juggernaut. That's what they were known for last year. But if you fast forward to this year, they give up the second least goals in the NHL this year during the regular season. This is a Panthers team that knows how to defend. I think that you're going to see a very electric Panthers crowd. This is a rematch from last year where the Panthers won in 7. So you're going to see Boston take them seriously in this spot as well. I like the Panthers in the series. You can lay the goal and a half, or lay a game and a half in the series here, and you're able to get some plus money price on the Panthers. I believe it's plus 115 right now on DraftKings. So I would look at that as well. But to me, these first period unders are phenomenal bets in the playoffs, because you do see tighter hockey, specifically early in these games. You don't have as many power plays, which generally leads toward these first period unders. And we've seen it over the last 6 or 7 games in the NHL playoffs. These unders have been hitting phenomenally. The one caveat to that is that Rangers game you mentioned yesterday, where both those offenses got rolling. We had a higher scoring game. I think that kind of calms down as we get later into the series. But, I've had a great luck with these first period unders, being able to pick and choose which ones to play. I think tonight's another good shot at it, because I do think the Panthers control the play in the first. But Boston's defense should be able to kind of handle some of that early push you see from this Panthers team. So, like the first period under quite a bit tonight, minus 125.
It happened big time in that. So, the Rangers-Hurricanes game, again, 4 goals in the first period, then a scoreless second, and then Carolina, made it tight in the third, but the Rangers were able to hold on for a 4-3 win. So the game did go over, but after that first period, the only three goals in the final 40 minutes of the game. So I do think you get an early push with some of these teams, but you're right. Those first period unders have been absolutely fantastic in the postseason. Do you think the Rangers come out on top in that other series? What do you think, Rangers-Panthers in the East final?
So I bet the Rangers plus 140 before the series. I think that's just a dead coin flip series. Yeah. Every game should be right. The favorite should be minus 120. The home team should be minus 120 in my mind in every game in that series. And if they're not, I'm going to be playing the home team with some value. I've already played the Rangers. I believe they're plus 105 for game two. I just think it should be minus 120 for the home team. That series should go seven. Should be phenomenal.
Love it. Great stuff, Mike Somich. I'm sure you'll be talking a lot more ponies as we lead up to the Preakness in a couple weeks. We appreciate the time, pal.
Thanks, guys. Good luck today.
Good stuff. A numbers game concludes on the other side here from downtown Las Vegas.